Good morning. Whoa. Why are you guys singing so far back? Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Pastor Nate is sick this morning, so I'm filling in. Acts chapter 3. Let's read from verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called Portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you gaze at us, as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him." Amen. This passage, and I'll get to what I want to share through this, but I'll just teach a little bit. This passage, chapter 3, this is an example that Luke is writing of actually verse 43 of the previous chapter. And in 2:43 it says, "And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles." Right? And so this is a summary statement. And if you know any of, understand Luke's writing or his writing style, he'll have a summary statement. And he usually pick one thing that will, you know, exemplify what he's trying to say through that statement. Like, for example, in Acts chapter 6, he talks about they chose the seven guys, you know, the deacons. And then the next chapter, he'll talk about Stephen, right? And so he'll do a summary statement, and then he'll go ahead and give, a specific story to exemplify the summary statement. So that's what you have here. And so you think about of all the miracles that that was happening during this time, and there were a lot of miracles going on during this time. You know, it was a very special time, right? I mean, we can, you know, the proper word actually, we can actually call this not a revival, but vival, right? This is where everything came to life. And so revival is replicating what happened here in Acts chapter 2. And so in Acts 3, we have this, and so we have Peter and John going to the house of prayer, and they're met by this lame man. And just for, you know, teaching's sake, this lame man represents Israel, right? Israel is, and in this same case, in this man, it's very clear this man was lame from birth, right? It's the same thing as Israel. Israel was lame from birth. From the beginning, when God called Abraham, right, Abraham's first act of obedience was actually disobedience, where he takes Lot with him, right? And so, from the beginning, right, you're talking about being lame from birth. And also in this text, you know, he was a beggar, right? And this is also a picture of Israel, you know, in that they were filthy rags. You know, they thought they were rich, but they were not, you know. And this person is, you know, also exemplifies Israel in the fact that, you know, that he was always looking up for something. You know, he was looking for money. He was looking for something, you know, for someone to do something for him, and which is a picture of the history of Israel. You know, always looking to God or looking to others, you know, for something, right? And so you have that going on. And so he's in the temple begging, right? And he comes and he finds Peter and John, and they fix his gaze upon him, and then again, this guy was expecting to receive something from him. You know the very famous line, you know, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You know, and so what Luke wants to say through the text, right, is actually part of a messianic promise. You know, in Isaiah, the Bible talks about when the Messiah comes, there'll be deer that leap up. People that leap up like deer. You know, and this will be the sign that the Messiah, that the promise has come. When they see the Messiah, they will leap up like deer. You know, and they will hop up and down, and which is the same words that are being used here for this lame man. It says, you know, entering the temple, this verse 8, he began walking and leaping and praising God. Right, this is Isaiah 35:6. Right, walking and leaping and praising God. This is messianic language, you know. And so Luke is trying to say, look, the promise is here, right? It's right here before us. Now, that's not really what I want to focus on verse 12. This is where I really want to get to. And I talked about this a little bit last week, but this is really on my heart. I just want to reemphasize in verse 12. So these guys were all gathered around. They started looking at Peter and John in a very different way. When Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you gaze at us? By if our own power or piety, we had made him walk." Right, and so you know the people were astonished. They were looking at him, says, "Wow, there's something about these guys." And he said, "Look, right, because this is." What will happen in life? What will happen in our world? Right? You do something good, you do something powerful, people always lift you up. Right? I mean, it'll always be the case. In the church, outside the church, right? There will be praise that comes. You know, but notice what these guys say. Look, number one, it's not our power. In other words, it's not us. It's not anything of us, you know, nor is it our piety, you know, meaning our discipline. You know, or our godliness, right? So it's not any strength that I have, nor is it, you know, any strength that I can muster up, you know, from doing certain activities. And it was just the will and mercy of God. You know, it wasn't my power, right? And it wasn't my piety. It wasn't my godliness. It wasn't my activities. It wasn't my discipline. You know, and as we talk about faith and as we talk about answered prayer, and as we talk about a lot of these things, you know, I'm continually struck with, you know, the realization that a lot of times in our prayers that we are relying on our piety, you know, or our goodness or our good name in these things instead of purely and simply relying on the mercy and the goodness of God. You know, I mean, I know this is not you guys, right? But I wonder how many times people come to morning prayer, you know, just, you know, thinking that, oh, you know, this is part of the merit badge or part of, you know, what I do to get what I want, you know, in some ways, you know, this is an activity and, you know, this makes me godly. And it does all do all those things. It does make you godly. It does help you and all that stuff. But our confidence is not in our activities. Our confidence is not in what we do. But our confidence is not in our power or our piety or godliness or our discipline or any of these things. Right, our confidence has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and as I meditate and continue to meditate on this, I wonder how many times I have blown it for myself. You know, when I came with a bunch of merit badges or, you know, kind of things that I had done for God. You know, and as a result of my dependence on myself or on my discipline, I have disqualified myself from receiving the very thing that I felt I deserved to receive. Right, it's not my godliness, right? It's not my discipline, and it's not my power. It's purely on the mercy of God. And as we pray this morning, you know, let's pray with that kind of mindset and with that kind of heart. And are you leading, Ken? Come on down, man. Don't leave us hanging here. And so let's just focus on that a bit and meditate on that. As we begin to seek the Lord, is it our piety that we're trusting in? Is there something inside of us that we feel like, well, I deserve this because I did this? You know, even in the realm of giving, we know that God spills over and He blesses us, But how many of us give with the idea that, Lord, I deserve this now. I deserve to receive. It's not our power, nor our godliness. And as Ken leads us in a song of worship, let's just continue to focus on that and search our hearts. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to just cover our community, and let's pray that as a church, that when we do pray and whatever we do, that And we would just really totally rely on God. Not on ourselves, our power, or our piety, but totally rely on God and God alone. Just like in the text, there is a promise, right? There is a messianic hope in all our prayer requests and the things that we're seeking God for. But even in that promise, there's got to be a place where we just surrender. And I'm reminded so many times where I really sought the Lord after certain things, and I just felt like, yeah, they, you know, not necessarily I deserve it, but it's God's, your promise to me. You know, I believe in faith. But it was the laying down of those things and not having any attachments and, you know, opening my hands and just releasing to God. You know, when that happened, then the promise came. The promise may be there, but if we're holding on so tightly, you know, then it's our piety, our power at work. And God wants us to let go. And so individually as a church, if there's a promise there, let go and see what God does. Thank you, God. Let's pray that members of our community that are really waiting for a promise, that they would just surrender and just let go before the Lord. Let's pray for our house churches today. Huh? Let's pray for Conduit Road and for Sandro, who will be leading by himself as Jay is in Cambodia. And let's pray for Pacific Place and Angie and Mike. Let's ask the Lord to bless these two house churches they meet tonight, that God would just come and just minister powerfully to each one of them. Let's lift them up. Let's cover our team that's in Cambodia right now. Let's pray for GA and Matt and May. Let's ask the Lord to bless them as they work with Pastor O and Jenny, and the Spirit of God would use them to minister very deeply with people that they come in contact with. just cover their health and the rest of this week and then. Lord, we just bless you today, God, and we thank you for your goodness, God, and your kindness. Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to reveal yourself to us and speak to us, God, and teach us, Lord. We need to have your understanding, God, and your wisdom, Lord, and especially as we embark on this project to move, God, we pray that you, God, would be in the center of everything, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us this day, God. Lord, help us to bring glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do this day. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. We'll see you tomorrow.